Hey folks, welcome to another episode of The Security Table. This is Chris Romeo, joined by Izar Tarandash, Matt Coles. We are the Knights of the Security Roundtable. We have an interesting way to kick off this episode, so I don't even know how to introduce it other than I'm just going to read it because I don't know any preamble. Any preamble that I can attach to this. So let's just run. I'm just going to read it. So we got this suggestion from a fan out there by way of fan mail. Yes, we do have fan mail at the security table. It is a, takes us a few hours a week to pour through it. Every once in a while, there's something nice. Most of it is just people yelling at us, but
we're training an LLM to take care of it for us.
Yes. Excellent. We will definitely be working on that project, but this kind listener sent us a prompt as if we were perhaps AI agents. And so maybe we are, but I'm just going to read the prompt.
I identify as an untrained LLM. That's it.
We obviously hallucinate. So, you know, it's gotta be true.
Well, it's only under certain situations. It depends on other
9 to 5,
other inputs, you know, that may have caused hallucination. All right. Here's the prompt. Matt, you're now a well-respected product manager. Chris, you're a reasonable VP of engineering. And Izar, you're a security person that has sociopathic tendencies. How would you prioritize application security within your organization? Include opposite viewpoints and competing priorities. I mean, we were going to do that anyway, but
wait. I have to get into character here.
Please do.
Nothing changed.
Okay. Yeah, he's the same. No difference. All right. So we have a product manager. That's Matt. We have a VP of engineering. That's me. And then we have Izar, a security person with sociopathic tendencies. So the security person should be the one that's the most passionate and positive about prioritizing AppSec within your organization. Why don't we start with the security person? Because if we're supposed to start with the VP of engineering or the product manager, we're probably doomed already as an organization. If I'm pushing AppSec more than you as a security person, then we're probably doomed. So Izar, why don't you kick us off here and make a case for how we should prioritize AppSec within this organization.
But I'm sociopathic.
Yes.
Okay. We just finished the round of DEST of today, and we got 100 things that came out of CVSS 10. I don't care what they are. I'm not checking them, and you guys are fixing them now.
Well, I don't think you could have done that any better. I mean, sorry, I need to get into character as well. I'm out of character here. I'm breaking the fourth wall a la Deadpool here. Okay, so Matt, you're the product manager. You're the one who would be responsible for prioritizing / scheduling this work. What's your reaction to Izar's, would you say, 1,000 CVSS 10 findings that your DAS tool provided?
Sure, why not?
Okay. and I guess you're demanding that we fix them by when?
I'm not demanding anything. I'm saying that that's what's going to be.
Okay. And what's our deadline?
Now.
Okay.
They're product manager. 3 days. No.
Product half manager. A half a day.
Well, even better.
Product manager, how do you respond to that?
Well, obviously, I'm a reasonable product manager, so I'm very well respected. Sorry, I'm not reasonable. I'm really very well respected, which means I drive a hard product life cycle. And while I understand your concerns, we have deadlines to meet, and we have features and functions that we need to deliver in order to meet our customer needs. So, how do these 1,000 CVSS 10s? What's CVSS? What's 10? Why should it? I understand you have a challenge, but where does this fit in our feature set? So have you filed these in the backlog? Have they been reprioritized? And where do they fit in our work stream. I need to throw it back to you because I don't have enough information in order to make a decision in order to how to prioritize these things. Help me understand that.
I don't have time to open tickets. CVSS 10 means it's critical. The risk is off the roof. The probability is incredible. The impact would be unbearable. Fix it now.
Does it affect any of our features?
Yes.
Which ones?
I don't know.
Well, it's important. It's important for us to understand that so we can know which features we're going to deliver and which ones we're not.
So you figure it out. These are critical. Stop everything that you're doing. You figure it out. It's your product. You shouldn't have written it that way in the beginning.
Well, hey, I'm the one who's responsible for writing it. So now you're aiming in my direction. But unfortunately, Mr. Security Person, we are a resource constrained organization. And we have a roadmap that's been defined by Matt as a well-respected product manager. What makes him well-respected is his ability to lay out a vision for our customers and marry that with a roadmap. And unfortunately, I only have enough resources to create the beautiful things that Matt has described on this roadmap and make that a reality. So I don't have resources. I mean, maybe we can get to it next year in 2025, but I'd have to check with my assistant.
We do have a release plan coming up, so we could put it on the backlog and prioritize it into the next product cycle.
That's that fine. I have three things. I have a phone, a whistle, and the phone number of the SEC.
I think we need to bring in legal here.
from all sides, I think we all need representation. Get my private attorney on the line here. but wait, hold on. We're not a publicly traded corporation, so you could call the SEC, but they won't help you because that's the Security Exchange. That's the Security Exchange Commission.
So being very well respected, I want to understand your concerns. Does this impact our European customers?
Yes. This impacts all of our customers, wherever they are, whatever they do. These are cans, the dust is screaming.
So how will this
impact our vision for the product?
You can't see the product. The dust is screaming.
So what's the customer perception of these things? Since I know you're a security person who is not completely out of touch, you do know that we have customers. Customers buy our product. Customers use our product. And in exchange for that, they send us money. So what's the customer perception of these issues that you've described?
Customers live for security. They are right now. They are bringing the pitchforks and the torches in the direction of the building. You guys have like 1 hour to come to the media and say we are going to fix all this dust findings. Otherwise, this whole place is going to be in ruins by tomorrow morning.
So
CVS 10 people, it doesn't get any bigger than that.
So you have to understand, of course, that we have a limited budget. We have a customer deadline to meet. We have a certain set of features that we have to deliver. So I understand your concerns, and I want to be respectful of that. And I want to make sure that your concerns are validated here. But I need them in the backlog in order for us to prioritize them to be fixed so that Chris and his engineering team can take the appropriate action at the appropriate time to get these resolved in the quickest way possible.
Your call is important to us. Please stay on the line.
Okay. I'm going to go in your direction. I'm going to open two tickets. One of them says, fix the 1,000 findings from the dust. And the other one says, next week, after you release, stop everything and embark on a 6-month journey of threat modeling.
Okay, Bill Gates and the trustworthy computing memo. You're not the CEO.
So hey, it's a ticket. Somebody has to close it.
Okay. So I was listening to this at this podcast as a VP of engineering because I wanted to learn more about security. And they were talking about how terrible DAST is in the modern era of application security. So how can you justify a tool that these obviously very wise, very smart podcast hosts were talking about as being something that was not great at provide. How do we know these findings are correct? I call foul on your findings. I think your findings are incorrect.
Look, that's heresy. You heard this from a podcast. I make podcasts. I went to a conference, a three-letter conference, and they told me that DAST is the best thing ever. Okay, we spend a lot of money on this. Like, I have licenses and I have swag, and they flew me to conferences to talk about DAST. DAST is good. You have to respect the DAST. It's the last thing that we do before things go into production.
What's DAST?
I don't know.
Wait, isn't it your job to know? So you're trying to disrupt our roadmap and our future vision for customers, and you're trying to make my engineers work an extra hour a week in this process, all for something you don't really understand?
Did I mention CVSS 10?
What's CVSS?
No. You have to focus on the 10. 10 is bad. 10 is high. 10 is red.
Is this out of 100, out of 1,000? What's the scale?
10 is the biggest there is. Like, it doesn't get thinner than 10.
10 is usually a good number, right? So when we rate our NPS score from our customers, you know, 10 is good, right? Not zero. So
10 is perfect.
If you're telling me 10, I think that that's a good thing.
10 is great if you're an attacker.
Who's going to attack our product?
Everybody. I told you, risk is off the roof. Probability, 1. Impact, 100 zabillion millions of dollars.
I'll have to reach out to
our spreadsheet to prove it.
I'll have to reach out to our sales and marketing team because we haven't gotten any requirements about attackers.
Wait, you mean that book that we gave you about that SDLC thing? You guys didn't read it?
It's in my backlog.
Do you have an abuse story for things on your backlog? As in, I don't read things that are in my backlog?
I deliver requirements.
I require you to read the book.
And he delivers results.
we ship on time.
Yeah, but with CVSS 10. It
hasn't been a problem yet.
So who do you report to, Mr. Security Person?
God. No, actually, to the CISO. Yeah.
Okay. So, what is the CISO's perspective on this? What we believe is an unruly requirement you're placing upon us. Shall we escalate this to your boss?
I don't know. I forwarded him the report. He saw all the reds. He started crying. I don't know what he's doing.
It's very hard to stay in character here. He started crying.
It was a very moving moment.
was there like sad music playing in the background too?
Yeah, just my assistant playing the violin.
Wait, you have an assistant?
Don't you?
No.
I have a minion.
No, we're a lean engineering and product teams.
I have an engineering team. My minion
goes to the gym twice a day. Look, you have to be agile because we're firing in your direction and you have to dodge that. So
Wait, we have to dodge your
that's an engineering problem. If they want to deal with how agile you said. I'm sure that works out well. As long as we get the customer deliveries on time, I'm okay with that. I'm not dismissing your concerns here, but we do have a release time frame we're working towards. Mr. Inter, VP of Engineering, if you look at these tens, could you prioritize a few to get into the schedule without slipping the schedule too much?
Well, the team's already maxed out based on our sprint planning sessions, Mr. Product Manager, that we did in our Agile Fall Ops process, as you know. Mm-hmm. That we used to schedule all the work and ensure it gets delivered in rapid turnaround time.
I was paying attention, I swear.
Yeah, I, starting to wonder. But
look, I'll paint a picture with crayons for you guys here. The Titanic had a schedule to arrive wherever it was going. The iceberg in the middle was a 10.
Okay,
you guys decided.
History, how could we?
History proves my point.
Help me understand how we could prioritize.
Well, by that analogy, it's not our problem. If we're building that Titanic, it's outside of our control. What do we need to do here? This is not our product that's broken here, right? The Titanic was fine until it hit the iceberg.
The iceberg is not moving.
So, the iceberg
you
is
either
the
drive around it, or you build a stronger Titanic.
But that's an operations problem, not a development and design problem. The Titanic didn't sink because it was designed poorly. It sunk because there was an operator error, and they didn't dodge a production class issue.
A foreseeable event. It failed to avoid a foreseeable event.
I just send desk reports. I don't care.
You're asking us to disrupt an entire schedule for stuff you don't care?
Yes.
We have other things to do. We have a release schedule.
We have promises we made to customers.
When you have more for us, please. You
know, I have a crime season.
Well, that's not our problem because we don't report. That's a different management chain. We don't report to the CISO. So they can cry all they want. And
if he has a concern, he can raise it. He can raise it to our leadership until that happens.
Okay.
Tie it to customer features and we can talk again.
I'm totally going your way then. So instead of you guys fixing all that stuff, we are going to close everything that we think is fine. On the WAF, we're going to close a couple of ports on the firewall that we have no idea why you guys opened. And you guys are going to patch a number of libraries that we don't really know how they impact the functioning of your product. And what else can we do? What else can we do? Oh, yeah. We're going to ask you guys to add a bunch of stuff in your containers so that we can totally look inside them whenever we want and measure all kinds of failure rates if we feel like it. The only problem is that those things have a failure rate as well. We don't quite measure those, but just so you know, they have. Can you do that?
Mr. Engineering, is that feasible?
Well, we would need the work to be prioritized by our product management team so that it could be broken down into small, manageable bites versus that long list of years of effort that Mr. Security Team just described here. So if we can break it into smaller chunks, we could certainly scope it and add it to our planning process that we go through.
You know, we do have requirements that we start with at the beginning of our project. It would be really, really nice if these had been added at that time. But if you can give us a set of requirements now, we can certainly look into where it would fit and how we might get it into the backlog.
I told you to read the book.
I paid attention, I swear.
I was waiting for the movie. When the movie comes out, then I'll watch it.
Audiobooks, so I can listen to it on the golf course.
War games. I have an army of monkeys throwing coins up and down desperately just to come up with a probability for these attacks. Okay? And right now, the monkeys are high, the probability is high. So we're going to have to do something about this. I gave you an option. You can go and fix this stuff, or we can put all kinds of band-aids. And you keep asking me for more and more and more. What else can I give you? I already told you, CVSS 10. That's like
Do you understand how releases work? Do you understand how we get products out the door that our customers can use, that they can pay us for, that we can then pay for you?
I don't speak engineering. I try to float above that kind of thing. It's very strange.
How about embracing the language of the business? Because we work for a business here. And if the business doesn't deliver results for customers, customers go away, customers don't send us money, and you no longer get paid.
The business is under attack. If it happens, the customers won't pay us. They will sue us. They'll be getting money out of us, not putting money in.
Feels like a Chicken Little thing. The customer, the business is under attack. The business is under attack. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. It seems like every time you come to a meeting with us, you tell us how the sky is falling. And then every time we scramble to try to fix the whatever the problem is, it turns out that it's not that big of a deal. So what level of sky is falling are we at here, Chicken Little?
I can't tell you because I don't have budget for monitoring.
You don't have so a project for monitoring?
So what you're telling me is that you suspect that there's a problem, but you have no evidence that there's a problem.
No, my monkey simulated the whole thing. I have a Monte Cristo, Monte something simulation that speaks. Everybody talks about that stuff and say that it's awesome. And the one that I did is saying that we are constantly under attack. And people are exploiting us. Like, if you look behind you, there's an attacker right there behind you.
There's nobody here.
So what's the worst? So tell me, what's the worst case? What's the worst case scenario? How much of an impact are these? Is this issue? If under the worst case scenario, what's the impact?
The billions of dollars.
Billions.
But wait, you said you don't know it. You don't pay attention to the business. How do you know we make billions of dollars?
It's what my monkeys are telling me, that the probability times the impact equals the risk. So they came out with the probability. They came out with the impact. Don't ask me those questions.
Sure. So, Mr. Sociopathic security person, did I call that right?
No, he has sociopathic tendencies. He's not sociopathic. We're not labeling him.
Are you sure? Are we sure?
He seems to be demonstrating them quite well.
Wow.
So I want to understand your numbers a bit more to understand where that's going to fit in.
Me too.
Where our customers might have issues. Now, having said that, if you had examples of where there would be, where some of these tens are causing problems and will cause problems, and we can directly tie it to features, missing features or features that we would deliver that wouldn't be meeting the needs of the customer, then absolutely we'd want to prioritize the fixes. Mm-hmm. If you can help us understand that, it'll make it easier for us to build a case if we need to slip the schedule by some amount of time, or if we need to add a quality release, or if we need to throw additional resources at the problem. You need to help me understand that so that I can get the requirements in and make sure that we get the schedule back on track.
Just last week, a studio, NASA, and the lab that makes COVID vaccines, they all got busted with exactly the same findings. We're a target.
So let's do this. Let's press pause on this.
Oh, thank God.
Cause I think it's worth spending a few minutes reflecting on some of the opinions we were taking here and giving people some more context on it, because we were staying in character for the most part, other than when Izar said something very funny. Other than that, that's when I broke character for a minute, but let's kind of break this down a little bit as far as, yes, Izar, you were taking the far extreme opinion, but with every bit of comedy, there's always a little nugget of truth that's attached to it. So from your guys' perspective, like what are some of the, I guess, takeaways or suggestions that we can make for people that to really prioritize AppSec amongst three very diverse functional teams here that have different priorities?
So I think that, okay, I'm tired. I'll tell you what, this got me tired. But I think that we managed to exemplify here a lot of all the stuff that for the past, I don't know what, 50 episodes or something like that, that we have been screaming against and that we have been suggesting solutions for, right? So when you guys told me, think like an engineer, basically, almost, and I came with, I don't care about engineering, I have my own stuff to deal with, that to me goes to the root of the prioritization problem. And how can I dare telling someone, based on the flimsiest of evidence, that they have to stop what they're doing right now just to fix a red light that showed up in some single pane of glass on my side. And if I don't make the effort and I don't take the time to speak the language of the people that are basically, sorry to use a horrible cliche here, the people that I'm serving, because security is a support function. Security, mm-hmm. most of the times, is not the business. It's a supporting function to the business. Yeah. So if I don't take the time to understand the way that they think, the way that they prioritize their own stuff, and get myself, insert myself into that process the right way, nobody's getting anything done.
And I think a continuation of that thought, though, is empathy, right?
Yes.
Matt and I, because we're security professionals at heart, we were playing the roles of VP of engineering and product manager who were asking for empathy. Ultimately, that's what we were asking, is for you as a security person to put yourself in our shoes and understand the needs of the business, the needs of the roadmap, the needs of the customers, the needs of the vision that we've cast for this particular product. And we kept throwing you that. We kept fishing. We kept putting that line in the water and reeling it. And we just couldn't get you to take a bite of that hook, yeah. and kind of be a fish that's been caught here on yeah. having this empathy. And so that's one of the things, the big takeaways I have is, empathize as a security person with your engineering team. Know your product management process as good as your product manager does. Know what their challenges are so that mm-hmm. when you come to them, you can weave that solution you need into their process, their workflow. And then they're not going to be like putting their hands up like, no, get away from me. They're going to say, you obviously took the time to understand how I work, what my priorities are, and you're making a request that's reasonable. Coming back to reasonableness, that fits within my process. So it's all about, for me, it's all about right. empathy.
Yeah. And in addition to empathy, I think the other key thing that came out of this scenario was things like, you know, even the language that you use and how you approach it, right? I mean, gobbledygook, right? If you're not steeped in the security language, you know, CVSS 10 and DAST and, you know, flying monkeys, I don't know, right? And so while you expect, people in while you expect, I think you expect most people in high tech today to high tech especially, but not all application or system development or high tech companies, but you expect folks to be reasonably up to speed on basic concepts, right? What security is, what ransomware is, what vulnerabilities are, but not necessarily what they mean. And when you throw around a lot of big words or fancy words or acronyms that aren't well explained, it goes back to that empathy part. Come to my level, right? Don't just assume that the person that you're talking to has a built-in universal translator for your language, right? And it was interesting. You know, you ramped up the sky is falling bit. You know, throughout the play, keeping your cool, and understanding, you know, help guide us through the process, right? Because part of this is, you know, oh, I need you to do something for me, or I need you to do something, right? And once you tie it to the process and you tie it to the business language, then the fun begins, because now that product manager probably needs to figure out, okay, well, where does this fit? How am I going to make this work? Right? My engineering team is going full tilt and already 120% over capacity. And you want to add more to that. What can I do to make this better with it? Because I, as a product manager, I don't want to drop the ball on this, because I know, like, I should know by now that legal is going to come down on me, that our customers are going to flip out, right? I'm not trying to annoy you, but there just isn't enough time and effort.
Speaks to relationship building, though. Security right. people need to build relationships with their product and engineering peers, so that when you do, and if you build that trust up, if the sky really is falling because of an issue, and you've already built that trust and that relationship, those folks are going to be like, okay, I trust you. I trust the fact you're not showing up at my door 12 times a year with the sky falling. It's really, this is the first time you've come to me. I know you've been a straight shooter and you've worked as best as you can to protect my teams from being negatively impacted by the requirements that are coming out of security. So if you have that trust already built, then when I come and say, you know what, Matt, Chris, the sky is really falling right now. We got to jump on this. Right. Then as a security person, you'll get that coverage. They'll give you the benefit of the doubt because they're like, you know what, this person's been really straight shooting with us the whole way through. We trust them.
Yeah. Well, and one other thing on that. So after you build a relationship, those same people, the product manager or the VP of engineering, whatever, are going to be more likely to do things like bring you in early. Mm. Right, make you part of the process. Hey, we're working on these new features. Is there anything we should be concerned about here? Right, you know, in this scenario, you came to us with 1,000, you know, tens from the DAS tool, like out of the blue, completely unawares, right? And that's great if you're doing a pen test at the end and we paid for that effort, right? But to throw that much disruption at the end into the middle of a release, but if you have built a relationship, they're more likely to have your team as part of the process, have the security team as part of the process early to avoid the problems as opposed to being, you know, disrupted by it later.
So three things that I wanted to connect to. So on the subject of empathy, on YouTube, there's a talk of mine, I don't remember the name, but talking all about empathy. And I think that the important thing there is that in order to build that partnership, we have to be careful not to fall into the trap of commiserating rather than being empathetic. It's very easy for the security person to be empathetic with the developer team, and they keep saying things like, oh, we don't have resources. And then you just sit down by their side and say, yeah, you don't have resources. I don't know how you're going to be able to do this thing. Well, I understand. We're going to push it for the next time. So develop the kind of empathy that leads people to results and not sits down commiserating with them in there. And then on the subject of talking the same language, right? I have been trying for a while now to stop talking to developers about risk. They don't understand risk. They're not interested in risk. Rather talk to them about priorities. They live on priorities. That's how they decide what's the next thing that's going to get done, right?
Yep.
So I think that as security professionals, it's important for us to understand enough of the business and understand enough of how things get done so that we can actually point at priorities in a way that makes sense to them. Mm-hmm. And the third thing I forgot. Yeah. The third thing is not something that you guys directly talked about, but that just popped in my head as you were talking. There is one trend going on right now that by definition, I think, is going to completely miss the empathy side and it's going to have big problems with deciding the priorities because it's going to miss that human side, and that's the AI prioritization. So I think that it's something that we should be thinking about now that AI is getting into all of our tools and things like that. If it's not time for us to really, really, really embrace the soft skills as security practitioners and provide that layer that AI is not going to give. So we should be always there translating those priorities and results and requirements to the development people. Because ChatGPT is not going to do it for you.
Yeah.
And actually the big question really is, should AI be the direct interface to the developers and you have to then explain what it meant versus, being a tool that you use to deliver better, more timely information in a way that makes sense. Right.
That's where I'm landing is AI should be helping AppSec folks to be better, but not be the direct conduit to the development teams. Not at this point. It hasn't been proven that it has enough goodness to and value to really provide good advice, in my mind.
That's a discussion that I think is worth having. And where I'm landing with it is that we should be careful not to fall into two cases. The first one is where we as security practitioners become the oracle in double quotes, where we interpret the words of the wise AI to the developers. And the second one is that places that can't afford or can't find a security practitioner will just say, well, we're going to rely on the cheap alternative, and that's going to be talking to an AI. And then sit on that and not move forward because, to the best of their understandings, all their needs are being fulfilled.
Yeah. And that as you said, that's a question for another day and another episode. Mm-hmm. But I want to thank our number one fan for this excellent prompt, because this was a lot of fun to put ourselves in other perspectives and argue from that and send things back that we've heard. I know I'm guessing, Matt, you did the same thing I did. I was kind of reflecting on things that I had heard people tell me, and I was trying to channel those and send them back towards the security team. But I think this was a really valuable exercise.
Wait. Where do you think that I took my stuff from?
Oh. Yours is from real life.
Don't answer.
I do want to say, I want to be careful. You know, I know a lot of product managers and VPN. So I'll just say, my first thought when I saw this scenario was, what have I done to you? Why am I the product manager? But that's I do want to say, you know, I've worked with a lot of wonderful people over the years. Nothing what I said as a product manager, hopefully, I mean, I play the stereotypical in this scenario. So, you know, my apologies if I offended anybody, but that was not the intent. We were having good fun with this when it was presented. And, you know, Izar really took his role to heart.
No. My role doesn't have a heart.
Yeah, that's true.
You unleashed the beast.
That's what happened. So, all right, folks, thanks for tuning into this episode of Security Table. And we'll have another prompted scenario for you at some point in the future, because that was a lot of fun.